Good evening. You know, starting this off, I wasn't really quite sure how to start off, and I asked Megan, you know, had the meat and potatoes, but even going into yesterday, I just didn't have how I wanted to introduce it. And so, you know, I was talking to Megan, and Megan said, well, just, you know, put a picture of a crying baby. And I was like, okay. And then as I thought about it more and more, it actually kind of makes a lot of sense. And so I want to say thanks to Megan, because this does work, because what I'm going to talk about this evening, I feel like I'm a crying baby. Because it's a question that I have at various times in my life, and I feel it's just me whining. And it's just me fussing. But it's a question that I struggle with. And it reminds me of John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is in the valley of the shadow of death. And as he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he meets a couple different people. But one of the things that he has, and I quote, it says, "One thing I should not avoid mentioning by way of observation is how poor Christian now appeared to be so confused. As I watched him, he did not even seem to know his own voice. Just when he came close to the mouth of the burning pit, one of the wicked ones sneaked up behind him ever so softly and whispered in his ear many suggestive and distressing blasphemies. These, he was convinced, had originated from his own mind." I struggle with this question because I feel as Christian felt in this valley of the shadow of death as he's walking, these voices that are in my head and they're whispering, and I feel for me to bring this question up, it's almost as if it's blasphemy. But we're going to talk about it tonight, because I venture to say I'm not the only one that's had this question at various stages in their life. And it's a question I think we should consider. And it's simply this: does God care? A question that brings at times maybe a little unease in our lives. But it's a question I think that we've all experienced in some point in time. Does God care? You flip on the news and you see war, and you see destruction, and you see chaos. It's not just the Russian-Ukraine, but you saw years still going on today, the civil war in Syria. And we see the pictures of those, of ones that are being carried out, and the destruction and the chaos. And I wonder to myself, does God care? Or what about the children and the suffering that they experience with cancer? And for these children, not just experiencing the fact that they have cancer, but they're in a war zone. And I see things like this and I ask myself, does God care? Or I hear about friends and maybe family members and their struggles with their various addictions that they have. And we see the skyrocketing effect of drug addiction, whether legal or illegal, that's affecting people, and how it's destroying not just their lives, but the ones that they love. And I ask myself, does God care? Or just simply when you see the picture of a man with his hand over his mouth, just in agony, not knowing necessarily what his situation is, but seeing the heartache that's in his face. And I ask myself, does God care? But it's not just even seeing world events in studies and opening up the Bible as I read through Scripture, and I see different people that lived. See, many times we forget that people in the Bible, these aren't just characters, but these are actual people living, breathing people at a point in time in history that had heartache and sorrow. I see Job in the happiness that he had with his family and how he was a good man. And then I read in Job, the second chapter, in verses 7 and 8, and it says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he afflicted Job. He put sores on his feet to the crown of his head. And what did Job take? He took a piece of broken pottery and he scraped himself with it. And as Job is there in his anguish and his angst, I read the words of Job in Job, the third chapter, in verses 3 and 4, where he says, may the day of my birth perish, and the night that said a boy is conceived, that day may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. And then in verse 26, when he says, I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest, but only turmoil. And I read that, and I ask myself, does God care? Or reading through Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, in Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, as he's there and he's talking to God in Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 8, and Jeremiah says, you deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all the day long. And I ask myself, as I see the heartache in Jeremiah's voice, does God care? Solomon, in his words there written in Ecclesiastes, in the third chapter, in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, in verse 16, and he talks about how he saw something else under the sun, that in the place where there was supposed to be judgment, wickedness was there instead. That wherever he looked, all he saw was wickedness. And when I see that, and I read that, I ask myself, does God care? But then I even go to the New Testament, and we go to Paul. And we see in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, as he's writing to those at Corinth, that he asked God on 3 occasions to take the thorn out of his flesh. But it didn't happen. And I read the scriptures, and these are just a few examples, and I see the heartache in just in the words. And as I contemplate and reflect, and I ask myself, does God care? But then it even gets more localized. See, we see world events, but maybe we think, okay, they're overseas. Or maybe the Bible, that was a long time ago. But then you look at Wayne.com or Wayne TV. And at 9:20 a.m. yesterday morning, here's just a few of the news articles that they had. Community mourns the loss of 4 kids in a house fire. Motorcyclist in critical condition after crash. Bloomington PD investigate nightclub shooting. And I see that things are more localized now in my community. And I see, and I read, and I hear, and I ask myself, does God care? But then I even reflect on our own congregation. Now, for some of you, these dates might not mean anything. But I know for some of you, these dates are kind of important. I think about the brothers and sisters that I have an opportunity to share with Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, at different camps, youth camps or family camps, at VBS, at revivals, at get-togethers and fellowship dinners. And I hear about their heartache. The heartache of June 1999, where a junior in high school found out that he had cancer. Or the heartache of May 2014, where a family was just celebrating a wedding shower just to get a call that their daughter had been in a car accident. Or March 2016, where for the last time, a loved one would see their spouse. Or February 2022, where just a little bit ago, a conversation between father and son was being had, and son left just for a bit, dad was gone. I see those heartaches, and I see them in my congregation that I'm a part of here. And I struggle because I ask myself, does God care? You know, it's interesting when we see the Sistine Chapel, and it's a very famous painting. We see where Adam and God, at least the representation, are there trying to make a connection. And I struggle even at times with that, because I wonder if God's pulling away. Church, I wonder, does God care?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
In Matthew, the 21st chapter, as Jesus cleans out the temple, in Matthew 21, in verse 16, and he said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes, nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Does God care? Absolutely. In Luke, the 12th chapter, Jesus is there and he's talking. And as he's teaching, he says in Luke chapter 12, starting verse 6, he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you're more valuable than the sparrows. Does God care? Absolutely, he cares. Yes, he cares, because the Bible tells me. Because I can open up the book and I can see in John chapter 3 words written down that God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Does God care? God is love. Therefore, God cares. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. A very famous passage of scripture that we're familiar with in 1 Corinthians 13. It says in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they'll fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. Whenever I struggle in asking the question, does God care? All I have to think about what the Bible says. And it says, yes, because God is love. So if we go back and we look at those four different individuals that I picked out from the scriptures, Job, Jeremiah, Solomon, and Paul. If you're familiar with those passages of scriptures, you know those passages of scriptures don't just stop there, that it continues on. So let's look at what Job's experiences. In Job chapter 42, in verses 12 through 16, we see something rather interesting. See, Job gets what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4, about love. See, it says, love suffers long and it's kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love is kind. And Job understood that. He got that. And we see here in verses 42, or chapter 42, excuse me, verses 12 through 16. It says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life, even more so than he had previously. And the wonderful thing about this passage of Scripture that I just enjoy is verse 16. I mean, we see the numerical wealth that Job has, whether it's the sheep, the camels, and the donkeys. We also see all the children that he has. But notice how Job, how he's able to live for a longer period of time. That he lived for 140 years. And it says he saw his children, their children, even to the fourth generation. How great is that to be able to see that much of your family and your offspring? Job got to experience that because Job learned and saw that God is love and love is kind. Does God care? He absolutely does care. What about Jeremiah? Well, we see that he understands maybe a little bit about verse 5. See, Jeremiah chapter 20, if you go a little bit farther along instead of verse 7 and 8, but if you go down to 10 and 13, we see Jeremiah continues on in his exhortation. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, it does not behave rudely, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. Love is good. And Jeremiah understood that God is love because God is good. In Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, starting in verse 10, it says this. It says, I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But notice what he says. He says in verse 11, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and thoroughly be disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. And why is that? Because God is good. You know, Jeremiah had so many interesting experiences. Wallowing in the pit is one of those ones that I've always, we all have those questions that we like to ask, and that's a question that I want to ask of Jeremiah. Just when you're in that pit and just kind of wallowing in that muck, you know, what was it like? And I wonder if Jeremiah will look at me and said, well, you know, Josh, I wrote about it. I said, the Lord is with me, like a mighty warrior. All right, Jeremiah, I'll give you that one. Does God care? Absolutely, he does. Why? Because God is good. And then we continue on and we look at Ecclesiastes. And so we see Solomon. And Solomon experienced a lot. I mean, he went through a lot. He had a lot of different things going on. He would be an interesting guy to talk to, no doubt, just because of his experience. And it's a hard book in many ways, especially when you get into the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about how everything is vain and everything is worthless. And you're kind of like, man, Debbie Downer, right? But what's great about Ecclesiastes is that it doesn't stop in chapter 1. It doesn't stop in chapter 3. But it goes all the way. We have 12 chapters that it's broken up into. And it's 13 of chapter 12 where he says, now all has been heard, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of mankind. See, in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, the problem that Solomon notes is that there's wickedness at judgment. There's nothing that's fair. There's not anything that's happening that seems to be right. But he comes to the conclusion to fear God and keep his command, because that's the whole duty. Because why? Because God is fair. And God will judge every hidden thing, whether good or evil. That's what verse 14 shows us. But see, if we go back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, if we go back there and we consider love, we see in verse 6 that it says it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in what? In truth. The right thing. Love is fair. God is fair. And so when I think about, is God good? Does God care? Does God love me? Absolutely. And then we get to Paul. And when we're there and we see Paul and his writings, and he's talking about the thorn in the flesh. And as he's talking about the thorn in the flesh, and on three occasions he asks that it might depart from me. See, Paul doesn't just stop there with that story in his letter to those at Corinth. He doesn't stop there whatsoever. See, because in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, starting in verse 9, it says, and he said to me, this being God, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. We see that Paul understands that God's love is gracious. As we go back to that passage in Corinthians that talks about love, and we see there in verse 13, or chapter 13, and we see there in verse number 7, we see that it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. We see that Paul understood that God is gracious. Does God care? Absolutely, he cares. And I can even show you in more ways how he cares. Now, this seems like we're getting a little bit towards the end just because of where we're at. Just give me a few minutes. See, the plan of salvation is another example of how much God cares for us. An opportunity for redemption, an opportunity for us to have hope. See, that's one of the great things that we see in the passage that we deal with in Corinthians chapter 13 when it talks about love, because it talks about in verse 13, now abides faith, hope, and love. All those things are things that we have in God. God gives us hope, God gives us faith, and God shows his love and gives us his love. And all those things we see in salvation. What a wonderful, amazing thing. As I consider, does God care? Absolutely. Because we see, as Peter wrote in his second epistle in the third chapter, starting in verse 8, but do not forget one thing, dear friends, that a day is like a thousand years unto the Lord, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, and instead he is patient. He's patient. What is he patient for? He's patient for me. He's patient for you. Patient for everyone, for all mankind. Not wanting anybody to come and perish, not wanting any kind of destruction, but everybody to come to repentance. In that passage, Peter understands that God cares. He absolutely cares. And so every time that we hear the plan of salvation, it is an opportunity to be reminded of the fact that God cares. That whenever I see the news, and this week, there'll be more of it, and I'll hear those voices, as maybe Christian from Pilgrim's Progress heard, speaking into his mind, those blasphemies, those tyrannies. And it brought him heartache and sorrow because he felt it was born out of his own thoughts, out of his own heart. As I experience that, as he experiences that, because I see the destruction on the news and I see the evil and the atrocities, as I see the local news, as at times I even experience in my own life or I see in the life of others, heartache and sorrow, and the question crops up in my mind, does God care? I can be reminded that whenever I hear the plan of salvation, it is an answer to the question, does God care? And it's absolutely he cares. God cares. So, church, whenever we struggle with that question, because I know I can't be the only one that struggles with that question. We see Job, Jeremiah, Solomon, Paul had at their points in their life struggles. And we have struggles and we have heartaches. We share in it with others. And it creeps in our head, does God care? The babes cry out, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible, it tells me so. I want to leave you with one last thought. Turn, if you would, to Romans, the 8th chapter. If there hasn't been enough reaffirmation that God cares and that God loves, let's at least end with this final passage of Scripture. And there's many more we could go into. In fact, we could go to Psalm, the 23rd chapter, where we could talk about the Lord being our shepherd and how we do not have any want. But I think Paul says it best in Romans, the 8th chapter. In Romans, the 8th chapter, he says this in verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can do it? Shall tribulation, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Can the heartaches of this world separate us from Christ? Because that's what we're thinking when we ask the question, does God care? We feel separated from the Master. And so Paul poses the question, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes into many facets of the world. But he says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are slaughtered as sheep for the counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, great conjunction. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Does God care? Absolutely. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my prayer to you, when you're out this week, or next month, or a year from now, when you're at a place where there's heartache and sorrow that you're experiencing, when maybe you have that question that I've had in my life at times, and I've asked out loud so that God could hear, God, do you care? May we be reminded, as Paul says, not anything shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Does God care? Absolutely. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. And as we're able to share here together, Lord God, with just this one simple question, but yet one we all struggle with, which is, do you care? You absolutely do care, God. Your love is revealed to us in Scripture to show us how much you care. And we're grateful and thankful for that. We pray that we never forget, but that when we struggle, we support each other, we lift each other up, and we remind each other that you care. That we go to the Scriptures to seek out if you care, because you do. And as we saw, even in salvation, in all things, Father God, you revealed to us, it's because you care. And we thank you and praise you through Christ Jesus. Amen.